Welcome to the press conference with Casper Ruud. We're going to start with questions in English and we'll do Norwegian in the end. Please raise your hand if you would like to ask a question. We can start with Craig.
Casper, just explain how excited you are with what you've achieved in your debut outing at the NITO ATP finals. And do you think, irrespective of what happens, that you should be regarded as the greatest player ever to come from Norway?
Well, I think very excited. It was quite a way to finish a match. I think the tiebreak was probably some of the best tennis we played because there were some rallies, some good winners, and then in the end to be able to serve ace was a relief because you are a little bit tight and nervous on these big points, and you know, it was 5-3, I played a good forehand and then hit the net and went over. So then I felt like, oh, maybe if this is the way it will turn around, it will be tough. But it was just a great kind of feeling and relief when I served the ace on the match point. And since, it's been obviously a great feeling. But also after this press conference, I will try to go into the zone to be ready for tomorrow. It's a new match, and this is probably one of the toughest challenges with this sport, is that the better you do, the tougher it will get, and you will play more and more matches against tougher players. So this is the first time experience for me to play the semifinals here in the NITO ATP finals, and I'm looking forward to it, and I hope I can deliver a good match.
Reem?
Hi, Casper. Congrats.
Thank you.
Casper, since you lost the five setters at Roland Garros and Wimbledon, you haven't lost the deciding sets. You've won 11 in a row. And I want to know if you know that you won 11 in a row. And
I didn't know.
Why do you think you're doing so well in three setters or in deciding sets at the moment?
I think, you know, what you asked is it stings a lot to lose a deciding set in a Grand Slam. It's probably the worst loss we have in our sport to lose a fifth setter or a five setter. It's something that is, you know, really, really stings. It's not like I told myself, you know, I'm never going to lose a deciding setter again, because I will have to accept that I will do for the coming years. But since then, all the margins have kind of gone my favor, and it's a good streak to have. You know, even a match, I think, where I saved match points to turn it around and win in the end. And it's been some really close matches that have gone my way. So I'm just really happy about it and hope this streak can continue for more matches. But I think something that really gave me motivation was the loss in Roland Garros. Even though it was tough at the time, it gave me motivation to kind of seek somewhat of a revenge, especially when I came back to the clay after Wimbledon. I was ready to kind of, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'm not done with this surface yet for this year. I will have my revenge and get some good wins before the clay season is officially over on the tour. So that was my mentality when, you know, I won those three tournaments in a row. And here this week, I've just thought that every point is important, matters, because it goes so fast here, and the games can go by fast. If you serve well, it's tough for your opponent to do anything. And on big points today, I was both playing and serving well.
Speaking of your serve, Novak said after your match with him this week that you surprised him a bit with your serving. And I'm curious, has your serving exceeded your expectations this week?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. And today, I think my best maybe service day was against Cameron. Not maybe the start, but the way I kind of served the second and third set was almost exceptional for my standards. So I didn't feel that great with the serve today. It got better towards the end. And in the end, I was able to finish the match with an ace. So I'm very thankful for that. But I have been working on it for, you know, since Paris, because I knew that serving here would be very important. And even when we got here, knowing the courts were so fast, in practice it was tough to return. So I knew that serve would be a key shot here in Turin.
Can I have one more, or do you want me to wait?
No, go ahead.
Just one. It's a bit of a silly question, but I know you're a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, how did you become a Liverpool fan? And do you think Mo Salah is the best player in the world at the moment?
Well, that's a good question. It's quite simple, really. I'm not following, you know, all soccer matches fully, to be honest. I'm not like a diehard football fan or soccer fan, but my team is Liverpool because when I was 10 years old, I went to Liverpool to play a junior tournament with a Norwegian guy who arranged it to play against other British players on grass. So it was the first time I ever played on grass. And then he took us to the stadium and I bought the jersey of Fernando Torres. So when he played in the team, that's many years ago now. And since then, it's just been natural for me to support them. And, you know, before Klopp arrived, there were some tough years. But since the arrival of Klopp, he has turned things around. And it's been a fun years to be a Liverpool supporter. And it's a great team. They play great football. And if you ask me, I think the last month or two, I think Salah has maybe been the best player in the world. Yes.
Waldo?
Well, first of all, congratulations. Not bad for the first Norwegian ever to come to play the ATP finals and reach immediately the semifinals. Second, well, you say that you're going to take a sauna later on. And normally the Italians, the Latins, they go to in the freezing ice swimming. You come from the north and the ice pole, North Polo, and you go to the sauna. Is that the reason? I mean, you have to fight against your nature? And this is one question. The second one is instead about, did you see Medvedev last night versus Sinner? Did you see what he was doing in the third set when he almost seemed to quit the match? And then instead he started to play again and he was serving 200 kilometers per hour, the second serve, and so comment on that. And what you expect tomorrow?
Well, I think, yeah, a lot of guys from the north, they like to do the sauna. I think sauna comes from Finland, not maybe from Norway, but it's a nice thing. I'm from the north, but I'm not too a fan of the cold. I always try to escape the winter, and luckily the tour is played in the warmer places during the winter. So, but it's always nice to come home to a cold and, you know, white Christmas. I think it has a charm, especially in Norway. We have snow and it's all white and beautiful. So I guess that's an answer. But when it comes to Medvedev, I was watching not the end because then I was sleeping. I was ready for getting ready for this match. But I watched this morning some highlights of the match, and I actually watched until it was 6-0. So Medvedev was playing unbelievable, and then I went to sleep, and then I woke up and saw it was an incredible match. So I wish I had stayed up to watch longer, but I saw some gestures he was doing or some things he was doing on the court. It's maybe it's a little bit typical him, but you always have to expect some crazy things. Well, coming from him, it's happened before, so it's not nothing new. And tomorrow, of course, I hope I can have the crowd a little bit on my side because I'm playing the number two player in the world. So some support will be obviously appreciated, and I think it could be a good thing for me to have the people in my back. And I will just try to fight and run until I'm too tired to run, and hope I can deliver a good match. And I have lost to him two times before, so I have to come up with a better game plan tomorrow.
Were you surprised by Sinner's performance? What do you think about him, even if you saw only the highlights?
No, I'm not surprised about Sinner playing very well because I played against him this year in Vienna, and I think it was a very, very good match from him. I think also I played quite well in the first set, at least. It was close, and he was playing with high confidence after his victory in Antwerp. So And I was more surprised, honestly, when he lost to Tiafoe and Alcaraz, because I was expecting him to maybe pass me in the race and that he will make it here. In the end, he did. So I'm very happy that he was able to play two matches and he played great. So I think he deserved the chance to play here. And it was also, in a way, nice for the Italians that he replaced, you know, another Italian. So unfortunately, of course, for Matteo, had to withdraw, but at least Sinner had the chance and he took care of the chance, I think. Unluckily for him, yesterday he lost with match points, but I'm sure he is proud of his season, and I'm sure we will see him more next year.
Thank you.
Craig?
Yes, but what do you have to do specifically? What's the most important thing you need to do against Daniil? And do you consider the two previous matches that you've played against him? You haven't won a set against him. So if you could please just address that.
I think I will go tonight to look a little bit on his matchups against myself, obviously, and also maybe a player like TM Dominic, who has beaten him before, and see what Dominic has been doing well, because I'm not going to say I play similar to Dominic, but we both play with quite a lot of topspin from the forehand, and I think we both prefer to play, you know, the heavier shots with a lot of spin. Dominic has the potential to play so fast also, and he has a good slice, unbelievable backhand and all these things. But I will be interested to see a little bit what he has done to Medvedev before. And, you know, any player that can beat him will be interesting for me to watch a match to see how they do it, because he's playing really well at the moment. And the last 2-3 years, he has shown everyone that he belongs here on top of the world. And tomorrow it will be my task to try to, you know, surprise him you know, try to beat him in the end. It's simple as that, but it will obviously be tough. He's a great player, especially here on hard court indoor, but he has also struggled a little bit. I think he's played 3 sets all his matches, so I don't think he has been flawless yet. Even though he won all the 3 matches, he has had some struggles here and there, and hopefully I can find some ways to force some errors from his racket.
Reem?
Casper, in the video that the ATP asked you guys to do, where you were describing each other, the players, Novak used the word kind to describe you. And in the beginning of the tournament, Rublev spent a good 5 minutes speaking about how much he admires you, how well-mannered and respectful you are, and how you always say the right thing and all of that stuff. And I'm curious, you haven't been on tour that long. What does it mean for you to have your fellow top 10 peers speak that way about you?
Hey, it's nice, of course. I always try to be a nice guy, even though I win or lose. And I think that's a big value that my family has raised me to think about. And, you know, of course, I can show some frustration on court, but I think it's always nice to try to stay calm and be a nice and, you know, down-to-earth guy. It's important values to me, and I've said to myself when I started on tour that I will try to go my full career without maybe breaking a racket on tour, because that I think can only name one player of the top 10 who has done that, and it's Nadal. Federer has been also exceptional, except one time in Miami that he broke the racket. But those two guys have been exceptional in their behavior. And of course, it's also allowed to show emotion. I'm not saying that everyone should be just, you know, stone face or not do anything. But that's not, you know, the values I stand for. And it's funny because when you look at a tennis match and people are winning, they are always smiling and it's going to be fine and behaving well. But I think on many times on the tennis court, when the things don't go as well as you hope, I think the many players show who they really are. And start breaking rackets and can get very angry. So my goal is not to do this. I will try to go for the next years without doing it and hope I can stay to this this mentality. So it's nice, of course, that the other players can see that I'm trying to be a nice guy. And even if I win or lose, I always try to be respectful and nice to my opponents.
You mentioned Rafa, and I know you obviously spent some time at the Rafa Nadal Academy, and you spent some time with him too on the golf course and on the tennis court.
Yes.
Besides what you just mentioned, what are some of the things that you, having interacted closely with him, that perhaps you either aspire to emulate or you're just inspired by in general?
I think, you know, his whole character is inspiring, but he's very, very competitive. Doesn't matter if it's tennis, golf, he's a competitive guy, and somewhat he's, you know, has two personalities, you know, one on court where he's, you know, the fearful, tough guy with plays with a lot of intensity, but you will always also see him nice to his opponents and respectful. And then you have him off court where he's, you know, just a very, very normal, very nice guy. Always, you know, says hi around, and whenever he's around in Mallorca in the academy, you know, everyone treats him like a normal person because they're kind of used to him there. And I think that he also he enjoys that. I probably would if I was in his position, but it's nice to see that he's a very, very, you know, normal guy, at least in the circumstances when he's at home in Mallorca. So it's been fun to hang around him, and both on the tennis and the golf course. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions in Norwegian, please. Helen?
Hey, Kasper. Congratulations for an exciting and brilliant match. Like to know, what can you take with the two last matches where it went so well for you and you played brilliant tennis, head was very strong. How much of all of that can you bring to the match tomorrow?
Altså, jeg tar med meg videre fra disse to siste seierne at jeg har spilt bra når det viktige baller, når det jevnt og viktige poeng, så har jeg klart å på en måte steppe opp og spille kanskje noe av min bedre tennis her nede, og servet bra, ikke minst. Så forhåpentlig så blir det flere jevne øyeblikk I morgen, og det blir kanskje, you know, eller utover setet så kan det bli 4-4, 5-5, 6-6, og I disse øyeblikkene så har jeg I hvert fall en god følelse fra I dag, med tanke på at jeg vant et set 7-5, et set 7-6, så vet jeg at de viktigste øyeblikkene så klarer jeg å prestere frem god tennis, så det nok kanskje det jeg kan ta med meg mest fra disse to kampene, og ja, bare liksom vite at man på en måte spiller bra når det gjelder som mest.
Thank you.
Morten?
Hallo Kasper, gratulerer.
Takk.
Du, jeg pratet med din mor og søster Caroline rett etter kampen. Caroline sier at hun veldig overtroisk av seg, at hun må ha håret på den og den måten når du spiller, og så later hun som at hun prater med deg underveis I kampen. Hun sier selv at hun rett og slett litt gal. Hva tenker du om det familien viser når du på banen her?
Nei, jeg har skjønt at hun litt overtroiske de siste året, kan man si. Hun har vel begynt å følge mer og mer med på tennis, og forstår seg vel mer og mer på idretten, og ikke minst når man ser på live, så det åpenbart mye spenning blant boksen som sitter og ser på, og jeg synes jo selv det nesten verre å se på jevne kamper enn å spille selv, fordi når man spiller selv, så har man I hvert fall på en måte litt kontroll av hva som skjer der ute. Det jo du som faktisk slår slaget, mens når du ikke der, så på en måte spenner man seg til, så jeg kan forstå at de blir nervøse og overtroiske og sånne ting, så det hun nok ikke den første som blir det når du kommer til idrett, så det var... I hvert fall hyggelig for meg og dem at de kunne hive armene opp I været til slutt, og at de hadde vunnet kampen vel det viktigste. Hva som, om det at hun har håret på den måten eller den andre måten, det tror jeg ikke kanskje har så mye å si, men hvis det hjelper for hun, så skal jeg ikke be henne stoppe.
Fredrik?
Hei, Kasper. Du var inne på disse... faktene til Medvedev når han ute på banen Hvordan forbereder man seg på en sånn type spiller? Og du forberedt på litt sånn mind games og gjesting om du tar et sett? Og det noe fokus på det i det hele tatt?
Ja, altså det alltid, vi har et godt forhold kan du si. Vi har trent en del sammen og har en god relasjon, så jeg tror ikke det kan bli noe sånn alt for mye mind games, men han jo som alle, han liker jo ikke når på en måte det ikke går veien, og når han eventuelt taper, så blir han jo ikke fornøyd, som de fleste ikke blir, så jeg så bare noen bevegelser og noen greier han holdt på med i går som kanskje noe man ikke har sett så mye ofte på en tennisbane, en som går og gjesper ved sidebytte, det liksom ikke det som kanskje normalt å gjøre, men han litt uorthodox på mange måter, og det nok derfor han også veldig god. Han har sikkert et helt ekstremt høyt konkurranseinstinkt og hater virkelig å tape, så det gjør nok han til en veldig, veldig god spiller, men vi får håpe at han kan holde på med noe mer slike ting i morgen. Det betyr at det kanskje går min vei.
Kan du si hva som imponerer deg mest med han som spiller?
Han jo ganske så komplett, og så det jo, jeg synes jo alltid det ganske fascinerende å se på han, for noen ganger så kan det jo se litt merkelig ut på en måte den tekniske biten, men han får jo ballen inn og slår mye, mye bra slag, så hvis jeg hadde på en måte fått en sønn og lærte han opp til å spille tennis, så vet jeg ikke om han ville prøvd å lære opp på en måte på den, med den teknikken som han har, men han får det jo åpenbart til å funke fint, og det som det viktigste at man treffer ballen riktig og slår de riktige slagene, og det han faktisk veldig flink med, har jeg sett, etter han treffer, så altså fortsetter han alltid slag og slår alltid gjennom slagene, så det som skjer før jo egentlig ikke så viktig, men han en veldig, man har ikke sett en sånn type teknikk på mange år, tror jeg egentlig, og han på en måte litt den eneste som skiller seg litt ut på den måten, så det det som litt interessant med å følge med på han og se på han, så i morgen skal jeg spille mot han, så da får jeg prøve å ikke tenke for mye på det, og bare tenke at ballen skal slås forhåpentligvis i hjørnene.
Magnus?
Hei Kasper, før var det veldig mye fokus på grusestyrken din, nå du med i semifinalen med bare de tre beste andre i verden igjen. Hvor jevn god vil du si at du på disse to ulike underlagene nå?
Ja, så selv om jeg har kanskje et av mine største resultater her nå denne uken her, så det klart at jeg gleder meg allerede til grusen kommer neste år, men man skal tenke på det som skjer nå selvfølgelig, og at man alltid skal prøve å bli en bedre spiller på de forskjellige underlagene. Hardcourt nok, og kanskje gress, det vel det jeg kanskje har mest å hente og bli bedre på, men en uke som det her og matcher som det her gir selvfølgelig selvtillit for det som skjer videre, og ikke minst neste år, å vite at jeg kan vinne kampen mot gode spillere på det underlaget her, vel det jeg kan ta meg videre, og det bygger en slags selvtillit og god selvfølelse og tro på at man kan henge med disse gutta her.
Joakim?
Yes, et kjapt spørsmål, Kasper. Men dere spilte jo i går kveld, og det jo ikke mange timer til matchen nå. Tror du det har noen betydning med hvile når han får et døgn mer?
Nei, altså han har hatt en treningsdag, det ble sent, men på en måte, vi har begge en rolig kveld nå foran oss, hvor vi skal lade opp til neste match. Man vant til å spille mye kamper, så det ikke sånn at det ene sånn alt mye bedre enn det andre. På en måte det bra å spille en match dagen før, for da har du på en måte matchfølelsen inne og sånne ting, men han får selvfølgelig litt mer hvile og ikke noe match i dag, men samtidig så har jeg fått en hviledag før han begynte å spille kamper, så vi har fått like mange hviledager, men akkurat det blir bare, får vi bare gjenstå og se til i morgen.
Thanks everyone.